Blog Talk Radio.
Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good morning, everyone. Today is February 2nd, 2016, and you're listening live with Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. And today's show, Unveiling the Psychic Truth with your host, myself, Courtney Overfield. If this is the first time you've ever tuned into my show, thank you so much for listening. And if you have listened before, thank you for coming back. I greatly appreciate it. And for those of you who are taking a break to kind of join in on the show or listen, take a second just to take a deep breath in and release it. Today is Imbolc. And most people don't know what that means, and that's okay because I'm going to explain it before I get into today's topic. Imbolc is a Wiccan or a pagan holiday, kind of like Groundhog's Day. And what we celebrate, or what is celebrated, today on this holiday, is the coming of spring. Today, the earth is starting to stir. Spring is starting to kind of sink its teeth into the earth and starting to rise. The trees are coming alive again and waking up. And it is a day of cleansing out the old, clean out all that winter dust, that grit and that grime. It's a holiday of energy. And what I mean by that is basically today would be a great day to kind of cleanse your space, cleanse your house, cleanse yourself. I always call it letting go of the winter blues. You know, with the coming of spring, it's time to refresh your own personal energy and really kind of work on, you know, feeling solid, feeling positive, wanting to move forward. So today is a great day for that. Now, how most Wiccans and pagans and so forth and so on celebrate this holiday is they light candles. Traditionally, they made a selection of candles, and these candles were reserved for the day. And they would light them, and they would place them all over their homes. So when you would come into their homes, there would be candles everywhere. There would be candles everywhere to look at. And this was a sign of Imbolc, or Candlemas, that the light is growing stronger, that our days are getting longer, that the god is outweighing the goddess at this point in time. So for all of you guys out there today, today is a good day, no matter what. And if you have time, whether it's now, later, or even this evening, take the time to find a candle, because most of us have them. And it doesn't matter what color it is. It doesn't matter what size or shape it is. Light it and take some time to just do some thinking. What do you need to clear out of your life? And what is, you know, for you, what is time to let go of? You know, there's a time for everything, and now is the time to let go of some things. So really kind of internalize and decide what's time to go. You got to go. You're of no service to me. So definitely keep that in mind. So today's topic, I always mention on my show that I am always and constantly inspired by my clients, by the people that I work with, and there is never any shortage of that. And I'm very happy about that because, I find that in my profession, being a professional psychic and owning my own business, you know, the best challenge is not always working with someone, but learning from someone. I have the great privilege of not only being able to work and help with the clients that come to me, but I also learn from them too. And that is a wonderful thing. A lot of people become bored in their profession because they're no longer learning or they no longer feel challenged. I feel challenged and I feel like I'm in a constant state of learning every single day. And that's great. I love it. And I think that my clients really love it too. So one of my clients brought up a couple of weeks ago, and I name no names, that she was really dealing with a rough time within her relationship. And I find that out of all the subjects I do readings on, one of my most popular things is mediumship, because I am a medium and I see those who've crossed over. But the second most popular thing that I read on is love, the topic and the discussion of love. Whether it's divorce, heartbreak, I want this person, whatever it is, I always find myself centered around this subject, and that's okay. I have no problem with that. But it's also given me the freedom to really look into the subject and learn a lot. You know, I've seen so many different types of relationships over the years, and demographics, and the way people are loving and so forth and so on. It's given me a broad spectrum and a broad picture of learning, so to speak, on the subject. So I don't say I'm an expert. I don't feel like I'm an expert in anything, but I do know a thing or two about love. So this client was in my office, and she is a regular of mine, and she was talking to me about her relationship. And she told me that at this point in time that she felt very emotionally overwhelmed. And I asked her, I said, you know, sometimes when our head is all over the map and our heart is all over the map, the best situation we can do is really follow our instincts, follow our intuition. And she looked at me and she said, I can't tell where my intuition is right now. She goes, and I can't tell the difference between my intuition and my emotion. And I thought, that is very interesting, because some people have a hard time with that. And that conversation ended up inspiring today's topic. So I wanted to talk a little bit about my past, because everybody always asks me the question, you're married, what's it like to be married to a psychic? What's it like to have a spouse? How does he react to being in a relationship with you? How is your guys' relationship dynamic work? And I'm also going to talk about love and being intuitive and finding what you're looking for and dealing with that. So I'm going to start with my background. I've been married for almost 4 years. I have been with my husband since I was 19 years old. So I am very young, but in the same sense, I'm not young, I'm almost 30. But in the same sense, as long as I've been married to my husband, I've obviously known him longer. I have never gone, there's never a day that's gone by and that I don't know that he doesn't recognize or support my gifts. The best analogy and situation I can give you is when I first started doing this professionally early in my career, I worked for a business that was very well known here in Michigan, and I worked with a bunch of different women who happened to be psychics, and we would constantly get in the conversation of love, because, you know, it's not exactly easy for us to date and to find what we're looking for. The joke one time was that somebody had actually tried to sign up for eHarmony or Match, or had tried to do one of those websites, and the website actually came back with, we have no compatibility for you. We don't have anybody that would be compatible with you. And it was like, great. We can't even go on dating websites. What the heck? But I remember us getting in a conversation one day, because a few of the psychics were actually married. And we started talking about whether or not those spouses supported the girls, the psychics. You know, if they felt the support from their spouses, and, you know, they understood their gifts. And I remember one of the girls looking at me and said, that doesn't exist. You know, we don't have that. You know, we're lucky that we found the people that we want to spend the rest of our lives with, but our husbands are not interested in what we do or how we do it. And I thought, well, I don't want that. I would not want to be with somebody who not only doesn't understand what I'm capable of doing, but has absolutely no respect for it, who doesn't even ask me how my day is when I walk, you know, in from coming home, who doesn't, you know, take an interest in what I'm capable of doing or what I'm learning or what I'm working on. You know, I find that kind of wrong in a way. You know, that'd be like, you know, me just being a doctor and I'm coming home and my spouse goes, well, you know, what's for dinner? Not asking me how many surgeries I did that day, you know? I feel like in any relationship there should be a give or take. And, you know, if you're going to be supportive, you should have that support in return. So it really shocked me that here are two wonderful women, professional psychics in front of me, who are married, who have been married for years, and they don't have the support from their spouses. It is of no interest to them. So I put my foot down in that moment and said that no matter what relationship I went into, no matter what situation I went into with a male, whether it be dating, relationship, eventually even if I got married, I would need a man in my life who would offer that level of support. And I stuck to my guns on that. My current husband does support everything I do, and he understands the capabilities of my gifts. You know, he doesn't quite get them because he doesn't have them, but he tries to understand to the best of his abilities. And I appreciate that every single day. Every single day, whether he comes home first or I come home first, we ask each other, you know, how our day was. He listens to me when I talk about my work or what I'm working on or what new project I have going on. So what I'm going to tell you is, you know, from my personal experience out the gate, my first piece of advice for you guys is this. You know, if you are intuitive, if you are very gifted in that sense, you know, don't feel bad about that. That is a good thing. You know, I felt when these women are telling me, hey, you know, our spouses don't want to talk about our gifts, almost like, you know, they felt ashamed in some way. Or maybe, you know, maybe I just thought that they would feel ashamed. But either way, your gifts are nothing to be ashamed of. Absolutely nothing to be ashamed of. That's a natural part of who you are. And shouldn't your spouse or your significant other love you and want to be with you for who you are and what you are? You know, that's a natural course of a relationship. So don't give up your gifts. Instead, harness them and work with them and be proud of them. A person who's going to love you and want to be with you is also going to respect the fact that you are intuitive or you're capable of doing those things. Because I will tell you, there will be days when you come home and something big happened, whether you picked up on a car crash before it happened, or, you know, you have this bad gut feeling, or maybe you won extra money at the casino. Whatever it is with your intuition, you're going to want to be able to share that with someone and talk to somebody about that. You should be able to have that support system within a spouse or with your significant other. So don't give up your gifts. That's my first piece of advice for intuitives. My second piece of advice was, when I first started dating my husband, I was very honest and upfront. This is what I do. This is what I'm capable of. Now, had I done that with previous relationships? Yes. And it depends on your comfort level, how much you admit when you start dating someone. You know, I came out right off the get and on the first date told my husband, hey, this is what I do. This is what I am. You know, let's not prolong this relationship or this dating if you're uncomfortable with this. Because I had actually dated men prior to that where I waited till the third or fourth date to say, hey, by the way, I am psychic, and they ran for the hills. I felt like I had wasted my time getting interested in feeling a connection between me and somebody else if at the end of the day they weren't going to be able to handle what I was capable of doing to begin with. So I actually started, you know, dating and saying it right off the bat. It was a level of trust. You know, I wasn't trying to slap, you know, the guy, so to speak, and be like, if you can't handle this, screw you. I was more or less saying, you know what, some people are just not ready to be in a relationship with someone who can, you know, according to my husband, read their minds. So I really, you know, started putting it out there, and my husband was fine with it. He said, you know what, I may not understand it. I mean, I get it. I may not even believe in it, but I'm okay with it. And as this relationship develops between me and you, I'm willing to see where that takes me. I'm willing to see where your path takes me, you know, and maybe I will start to believe in it or I will open up to it. You know, he became very open-minded. So for all of you guys out there going, I can't find that person, you know, who's going to be comfortable with that, what I can do or how I can do it, they're out there. They are out there. I found one. They are out there. Do not give up hope or faith. You know, that was the biggest thing for me in my marriage, was that I had a spouse who respected and was willing to understand, or at least try to understand what I could do. I needed that support system, and I have that. And that is one thing that I thank the goddess and the God for every single day of the week, that I have that system. So I always get asked, you know, can you tell us some stories about you and your husband dating? And I always have a couple of particular ones that I like to share. because I, you know, parties, clients, wherever I go, I always get that question of how does your husband handle what you do. I will say that he has a great sense of humor, and sometimes he just finds the humor in situations. You know, if he wakes up in the middle of the night and I'm yelling at somebody to go away because, you know, they decided that they want to talk to me at 2 a.m., he just kind of shrugs it off, laughs it off, and goes back to sleep. He doesn't, you know, not respect it and so forth, but I found that out of all the things that he's watched me do, it's the mediumship that's the hardest for him. It's the spirit. So, you know, that's a give and take situation. For example, around Halloween, I watch all the scary movies. I love all of them. And we watched that movie, Ouija, and afterwards he turned on every single light in our home. He's like, oh, no. Especially when he asked me, hey, do we actually own a Ouija board? And I'm like, yeah, it's down in our storage. Granted, I've never used it, but yes, we do have one. So he turned on all the lights. So that was pretty interesting. The mediumship thing is very hard for him, but I do have a couple of funny stories. The first time that we dated, he took me out to a very, very nice dinner. And I remember he was talking to me, and sadly, and I'm a little ashamed to admit this, I was kind of zoning out. I was thinking about everything kind of that I had going on, and I was thinking about, you know, am I attracted to this guy? And, you know, I was kind of all over the map. And from what I remember, he asked me, hey, you know, by the way, will you come home with me tonight? Will, you know, you want to come stay at my place tonight, and we'll watch a movie, we'll just hang out, we'll chill, you know, would you be willing to do that? And I looked up and I said, sure, I'll come home with you tonight, I'll hang out with you, no problem. I'll watch a movie with you. And he looked at me and he goes, what did you just say? And I said, well, I just answered your question. You just asked me, you know, if I was willing to come back to your place and hang out. And he goes, wait a minute. I thought that question. He goes, I thought about asking you that question. He goes, I never said that question out loud. He goes, you answered a question I was thinking, not something I said out loud. And his eyes got really, really wide, and he kind of was white knuckle gripping the table. But then he kind of, once he just, it kind of settled into him, the realization that, I guess I just read his mind, he kind of relaxed, and he was like, okay, you know, well, I got the answer to my question, I didn't even have to answer it. You know, it's funny, and like I said, the look on his face was kind of priceless in a way, but situations like that occurred all the time when we first started dating. You know, I remember the really kind of feeling one day that he wanted to hold my hand. And I just looked at him and said, it's okay to hold my hand. You know, there was moments where he hates this, but I knew exactly when he was at the florist buying me flowers. And I had actually texted him one time and said, hey, you know, it's a kind thought for you to be buying me flowers, but you don't have to do that. And I remember him showing up going, this is ridiculous. I can't even buy you flowers. I can't even surprise you. And he's like, but I bought them anyways. You know, people ask me, how are the holidays and birthdays for you? I used to look. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I could pick up on what he was getting me. Now I don't. You know, I do want to give him the benefit of being able to surprise me on the holidays or my birthday. So I stopped looking. But, yeah, I have a lot of funny stories about, you know, us together. And that's okay. I enjoy all of them. But, you know, people ask me, how does he handle it? And the best way I can say it is he doesn't handle it. He knows it. He knows me. He loves me. He trusts me. We have a really solid marriage. And to him, that's just another part of me. That's another quirk or personality trait. That's another thing that he loves about me. To him, it's just part of who I am. It's not something he has to tolerate. That is just part of who I am, and he understands that. So that's just a little bit about me and my husband. I want to move into love and relationships as far as the topic of the day, as far as the topic of this show, and I want to go back to you know, what I was talking about earlier in the show, the difference between intuition and emotion. A lot of people say that they go hand in hand, that clairaudient, clairvoyant, clairsentient, all the clairs are using our senses to pick up on information. For example, I'm in a room and all of a sudden I hear something, like a voice or somebody talking to me, but there's nobody else in the room. Or I walk into a place and all of a sudden I'm overwhelmed by this scent, and it's a, you know, let's say it's flowers and it's roses and all I can smell is roses. And I look at the person next to me and go, can you smell that? Can you smell the roses? And they say, nope, you know, I don't, what are you talking about? You know, we use our senses on a daily basis, not only to pick up in the physical world, but also the spiritual side of things too. I've had a lot of people ask me, well, how come? Why? Because our intuition has to get our attention in some shape, form, or fashion. Our intuition likes to come through in our subconscious, you know, when we're dreaming. You know, we are using our intuition then. We are accessing higher levels of energy beyond the physical, beyond just us. You know, that's where dream states come in and astral travel and so forth and so on. But sometimes the message is not heard through dream state. Excuse me. I had a little tickle in my throat. So at the end of the day, think of a dream that you've had recently. Or maybe you haven't dreamt at all. You know, if you're not dreaming at all, you're not picking up anything in that intuition state. And if you are dreaming, then when's the last time you've actually paid attention to your dreams or really kind of analyzed your dreams and took a look at what the message was? So our intuition finds it tricky to come through, and it looks for any means necessary to get the point across, to get the message across. So what it will do is it will start working with our senses, because those senses are things that we use every day. Right now, wherever you are, you're using the ability to touch. Are you sitting in a chair? Are you driving? Are you touching your phone? Are you touching the desk? Do you have your hand on the remote? Are you, you know, what are you touching? Where's your butt right now? You are touching something. And that ability to touch is as normal to you and I as seeing, you know, and smelling. So our intuition works with those senses. So this is why most people say, you know, or some people will say, yeah, emotion goes hand in hand with intuition, because our senses sometimes cause emotion. You know, for example, my hands are on my desk right now. You know, my desk is very smooth. If I rub my hands over the top of my desk, it's very smooth. It's in, you know, it's bringing an emotion. I'm feeling something. You know, whether it's dust from my childhood that evokes an emotion of love, or, you know what, maybe I don't like this dust because of who gave it to me. I'm going to have an emotion either way. So when we use our senses, we have an emotional point of view. And that is sometimes very hard to differentiate between intuition, because when our intuition comes through, sometimes it, once again, goes through our six senses, and we develop an emotion about it. So this becomes very tricky in relationships, because now you're standing there going, do I actually like him? You know, am I really feeling this? You know, is this an emotional take or a chemistry take? Or is my intuition pointing me in another direction? You know, is my intuition pointing me in a solid other direction? Maybe this isn't the relationship I should be in. Maybe I don't feel 100% about this. You know, at the end of the day, we rely on our intuition more than we think. We ask ourselves certain questions that pertain to our intuition. You know, is this right for me? Is this what I should be doing? You know, is this the guy I'm going to end up with? We're always asking intuitive questions without even realizing it. So the best way to separate emotion and intuition is really recognizing the difference. And I know that sounds tricky, and it doesn't even sound like an answer, but it is the best answer I can give you. My emotion resides in my heart. Where do you carry your emotions? When you're upset, does your heart feel heavy? Do you get a headache? Do you get a stomach ache? When you're angry, you know, where does your emotion rely in your body? Your emotion tends to organize in a central spot. For me, my emotion sits in my heart chakra center. Whereas my intuition sits in my stomach. I can tell the difference. It's like accessing different parts of my body. It's recognizing different areas in my body and different chakras where that energy pertains. That is a good way to start to tell the difference between your intuition and your emotion. Meditation is a great example of that. Sit down and really, you know, allow yourself to kind of drift and go into that meditative state. Your intuition will shine through way more than your emotional side will. That's the whole point of meditation. Your emotion, your logic shut down, and your intuition takes over. You know, there's other things that you can do. I love working with crystals. There's a lot of crystals that can help you actually differentiate between an emotional energy and intuitive energy. So there's different ways to do this. But at the end of the day, sometimes they'll be harmonious, whereas your intuition matches your emotional state. And sometimes they're going to differentiate and they're going to argue. And you have to decide what's right for you. You know, I always tell people who are in relationships, trust your gut, but also listen to your heart. Your heart might say, hey, you know what, you really like this person. Stick it out. See what happens, even though your intuition is saying, uh-uh. Relationships are not just, you know, there for, okay, you go through Tom, Dick, Harry, Sally, and Susie to get to the right one. You know, every relationship is a life lesson or a karmatic lesson. Every person you come across, you're either learning from them or you're teaching them something. So the relationships that you've been through, no matter how rough and how bad or how good and how happy, there was something that you were meant to learn from these individuals. Every single one of them, and I kid you not. So don't think that you're just going through people to find the one. You are meant to learn some things along the way. And, you know, recognizing those lessons, those karmatic lessons, and really learning them will not only help you and shift who you are, but it will also put you in the path of finding the right one. For example, I get clients who ask me all the time, it's the same guy over and over again. I swear, I just keep, you know, I've been dating guys and they're all the same. They're all the same. But when you get down to the root of the issue, why are you dating the same type of person over and over again with the similar qualities? It might be something along the lines of you're dating people you hope you can change. You want to be that fixer because you want control. And why do you want control? Because you feel like you don't have any control in your own personal life. Once you get down to the root of things, there's actually significant reasons why you're dating significant people. So when I work with people on relationships and love, there's a difference between intuition and emotion. And even though your emotional state is telling you to stay, there might be a lesson you need to learn. There might be something you need to learn from this. Whereas with your intuition is telling you you're on the right path for the second, but this is not a long haul. And if we actually took the time to pay attention to our intuition more often, we would actually be able to shift through experiences and life lessons. I don't want to say it easier because it's not true. It's not any the more easier. But we may be able to recognize them better. So definitely keep that in mind. And for those of you out there right now going, you know, I want the one, I want that solid relationship, I want these things. You know, I have so much advice on love, and I've given so much of it over the years. The best thing that I've always went back to with clients is, who are you and what do you want? Who are you? Because I will tell you, in order for you to have that solid relationship with somebody else, you really need to know who you are. You really need to know and understand who you are. The best situation I can give you for that is, are you broken? Are you dealing with a broken heart? Are you still dealing with the trauma of a past relationship? Are you still dealing with the energy of a past relationship? Because if so and you are broken, nobody is going to put you back together except for you. And putting yourself in a relationship or dating someone, having that expectation that they will put you back together or fix you, is totally wrong. You are now putting that on somebody. Hey, you. You. I need you to put the puzzle pieces back together. That is a lot of weight to be putting on somebody you just met or somebody you just started dating or somebody you're just starting to feel chemistry with. Not only that, but why is that their responsibility? Hey, that's your broken heart. That is your puzzle pieces on the floor. That is your job. So I always tell people, if you are dealing with that level of trauma or brokenness, it is not a good idea to enter a relationship. You will not find the healing and the super glue you are looking for from another person. You have to find that within yourself. From a personal standpoint, I went through a very horrible breakup after 4 years of a relationship where there was actually some level of abuse. And I got out before it got bad because I knew at the end of the day I wanted to hit him upside the head with a frying pan. And it took me 2 years of not dating and not being in a relationship to really put myself back together, to really feel like I was standing on my own 2 feet. You know, there was a lot of habitual things that had happened within that relationship that I carried over. You know, and I did not want that to affect my next relationship. I wanted a clean slate. I wanted to feel good going into my next relationship. It took me 2 years to recover. And I'm not saying it's going to take you that long, and I'm not saying that it could take longer or shorter. What I'm telling you is you do need to take that time. And that's why I'm asking you, who are you? Because if you don't know, somebody else is not going to tell you. You need to know who you are, and you need to have a level of self-respect and love for yourself before entering any solid relationship. And that really is the nutshell of it all, isn't it? You know, if you don't love yourself, how can you expect somebody to love you? You know, if you have no respect for yourself, how can you expect somebody to respect you? And if you don't trust anyone and you go into a relationship without trust, why should that person give you theirs? You know, it comes down to a give and take. And I find this 90% of the clients that I speak with and I work with, you can't give and you can't take without both being there. Relationships have their own significance, and I think that they're a beautiful part of our world. Love is a really beautiful part of our world. But I am a firm believer of that, you know, quote, love is patient, love is kind, you know, love is not jealous, and so forth and so on. Because honestly, it's not. It really isn't. The love that you have is not jealous. That love is just there. You know, that love is faith and hope. That love is a lot of things together. But it does have everything necessary and right for both you and your significant other. My biggest piece of advice for anybody in the love department is patience. You know, I had somebody tell me the other day, I want a good relationship and I want it now. And I looked at this person and I said, really, you want it now? And she was like, yeah, I think I deserve it. And I said, what makes you think that you deserve it? Well, I've been with all these idiots and I deserve the right relationship and I deserve it now. And I said, so if you, you know, really feel this way and you want it now and so forth and so on, what if one of those so-called idiots came back? You know, you've had this pattern of in the past of going back to what comes back to you. You know, if that person comes back and does the whole, I've changed and I want to be with you, you go right back. So how are you proving to the universe that you're ready for the right one if you keep repeating the same relationships? Or you keep, putting the tape in the VCR, rewinding it, and hitting play? The universe doesn't hand you love on a silver platter just because you want it. They will bring it to you when you're ready. And the other thing to think about with love is that sometimes you are ready. Maybe you're in that exact spot and ready to receive it, but the right person for you might not be in that spot yet, and that requires some patience because the universe wants to give you that right person when you are both in the right spot to be able to have a solid relationship and move forward. So kind of keep that in mind. I like to throw that out there for people who, well, you know, I don't want to be patient anymore, and I want so and so and so forth and so on. You know, sometimes the universe has their own method of madness, and they really have their own way of giving you what you want. But I always tell people, be cautious. Love is not a game. It really, truly isn't. And if you're going in thinking that, you're going to come out the losing side big time, because, you know, it was never a game to begin with. you know, and the universe has its plan for everyone. You know, it really truly does. You know, I had a client who came to me because she was tired of going to psychics who she claimed didn't tell her the truth. She goes, every psychic that I went to would tell me, oh, you're going to find love. You're going to get love. 3 months, 6 months, a year, that perfect person will come in the door. She said that she was tired of going to people psychics, and they would tell her she was going to find love. She wanted a psychic that would just be bold-faced honest with her. And I looked at her and I said, I don't see love for you because you need to work on you. She was very, you know, she had a lot of insecurity. She didn't trust. She was very finicky about what she wanted. There was really no opportunity for wiggle room. There was a lot of work that she had to do for her. She'd been through two seriously traumatic relationships that she had never let go of and felt the guilt of every single day. I mean, there was a lot of work that she had to go through. So for me, I'm not going to tell you you're going to get love if you're not ready for it. Why would I lie to you about that? And why would I make you a promise that is not going to be kept? So I worked with her. I worked with her for over a year on working on her. One of the biggest things was she was very intuitive herself. She couldn't tell the difference between her intuition and her emotion. She couldn't even tell the difference between her logic and her emotion. You know, there was a lot of work that, you know, she did. And after being single for years, not finding the one for years, and finally settling down to work on her and work on what she needed, after about a year and a half, she met someone, and she's been with that person ever since, and she's very, very happy. They are in a very serious relationship, but she took that time to work on herself first, and that's what was blocking her from achieving what she wanted. That was what was blocking her from achieving the love of her life. Your biggest obstacle is not the universe. It is not the gods and the goddesses. It is not religion. It's not faith. It's not this. It's not that. It is you. Your biggest obstacle is you. And your biggest obstacle will always remain you, especially in your love life. It will always be you. I'm going to explain that a little bit more, but for the moment, I would like to take a short break. Oh, okay. Everybody just take a deep breath and relax. If you've been listening this long, thank you so much. Because I know this is a lot, and I'm rolling off the tongue with a lot of information today. So if you are interested in talking to me personally or getting a reading with me personally, my email is moonbeamessence@yahoo.com. My phone number is 313-516-8210. I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr under Divine Temperance or Divine Temperance with Courtney Overfield. You can email me, message me. The one thing I always like to tell people is if you have a question about today's show, about what I am talking about, feel free to email me or message me and so forth and so on. I do answer questions about the show's material or topic, but I don't do free readings on the air. I do not do free readings on the air. The only time I do free readings on the air is around Christmas time. I do it once per year. This is more an informational show, and I like to be able to really kind of throw everything out there for my listeners, but I just don't do the free readings. So sorry, guys, but you're more than welcome to call and book a personal reading with me. I offer all time slots. I do a 15-minute, a 30-minute, 45-minute, and an hour. You know, definitely check out my Facebook, Divine Temperance with Courtney Overfield. I post a lot of my product on there. I hand make my own candle kits, a lot of my own jewelry, malas, prayer beads. I've actually started making crystal grids within the last month. So I hand make a lot of my own product, and you know, I definitely post about it. So, and a lot of my stuff is more on the one-of-a-kind scale. So if you see something you want, feel free to contact me. So that's just a little bit of information about how to get a hold of me. So going back into the love department and really discussing this topic, you know, I can tell you when my husband and I first started dating, you know, it was definitely different. You know, the level of respect and the things that he showed me were definitely different. And I can't say that being with me is very easy. I already have my quirks and habits, but on top of it, now I have intuitive quirks and habits, you know. But my husband really does try to support it the best way he can. And, you know, if you are out there and you are intuitive and you really want that, then don't give up on it. I didn't, and I got what I wanted. You know, I did not give up on the idea of wanting somebody who would really be supportive of that side of myself. And I achieved that with my spouse, and you can too. I do get a lot of questions about, you know, achieving love. And sadly, I do get a lot of questions about love spells, because anybody who does look up, you know, what I do and so forth does see I do, you know, I do manifestations and spell work. So I get a lot of questions on that front too. And one of the biggest things that I tell people is, you know, if you're going to start doing love spells or kits or things like that, you really need to know what you want. And on top of it, you can't do it on a person. And what I mean by that is doing spells or manifestations on people, you're taking away their free will. You're taking their right to choose. And would you want to be with a person who's with you because you forced them, or because they actually love you and they want to be with you? So I get that question all the time, and I know it's sidetracking, kind of way off topic here, but I do get it. I get phone calls all the time of, you know, I've seen your ad in the guide and you do spell work. Can you make this person love me? You know, can you make this person come back to me? Can you make this person want to be with me? And my answer to all of that is no. I'm not going to ever take away somebody's free will and their right to choose. And you shouldn't want to do that. You should not want to do that. You should not want somebody to be with you because you did a manifestation or a spell. You should want that person to be with you because they want to be with you. And, you know, with that question, I always get that, well, what about your own personal experience? Have you ever done anything in the love department that you regret? I will say when I was first starting really starting to work with the craft, I had studied it for years, but even though I studied for it for years, it wasn't like I was going around doing magic every other day. You know, for me, magic is one of those things that is an opportunity when maybe you're out of opportunities. You know, I use magic as, something in my life that maybe when I'm out of options, you know, or maybe when I want to give a boost to something. You know, I actually had a client ask me this the other day, you know, when you do a spell for somebody, do you do what you would do for yourself? And I thought, that's interesting. I've never had that question. Why would I do less for a client than I would do for myself? If I'm going to do a spell for a client, I'm going to do exactly what I would do for myself. You know, that's how much, you know, that's what allows me to have the faith in what I'm doing. You know, but I do so much magic and spell work and energy work and so much of that for clients that I barely ever use it for myself. I just don't think of it, you know. And on top of it, like I said, for me, magic is one of those things where when I'm out of options, that's what I use. Now, I don't sit down and do hardcore spells all the time for myself either. You know, I usually work with more manifestation than spell work for myself. You know, dear universe, I actually need more money, or, you know, things along those lines. So that is a little bit of like another side topic. But anyways, going back to the love scenario, I was studying the craft for years, and I remember having a party, and I was in my teens still at this point, and I was dating, and I made a batch of my famous brownies, because everybody calls my brownies heart attack brownies because they're so good they give you a heart attack. And I remember adding some oil to it. And the oil was for specific things. And I remember asking, you know, anybody who eats these, let them find love. Let them have love of self, love of friends, love of family, just love, nothing specific. You know, let them have the love that they want. Let everybody feel great. Well, the guy that I was interested in at the time, and we were kind of sort of dating, but nothing serious, ate one, and he was all over me the rest of the night. I have to admit how I feel about you and so forth and so on. It was a mess because I couldn't figure out whether or not he was honestly telling me how he felt or if he was just saying these things because he had ate a brownie and it kind of backfired. So I had to undo what I had just did. And the only way to undo that, in some ways, I tried to take it back, but I actually, the only way to undo it was to really let it run its course, you know, until it was kind of out of his system, so to speak. It was a nightmare. And I felt horrible because with my good intentions, I still had gotten something that I didn't want. And that's when I really realized that working with love energy and trying to manifest those things, you really have to know what you want and be very specific with it. And you also have to watch when it comes to influencing or affecting others. You know, intuition is a beautiful thing. It is great to be able to pick up on the person standing in front of you. But at the end of the day, do you really want to be able to do that? Because I'll tell you, sometimes things you pick up you don't want and you don't want to know. And other times, you know, being intuitive or being able to manifest the things that you want, you may manifest something you think you want, and then once you've got it, you don't want it anymore. So intuition is a beautiful thing. But it also has its repercussions, its consequences. So I always tell people, you know, you want to know the difference between all of them. You really do. But you also want to pay attention to the one that you're relying on the most. You really do. I will say with my intuition, did I rely on it during dating? Yeah, I did. And then I got to a point where I felt like it wasn't right for me to rely solely on my intuition to date, you know, and I had to open up to the logical side of myself and the emotional side of myself. And, you know, I started kind of, I don't want to say closing down the intuition, but I started to respect all of my senses on a parallel level as opposed to one outweighing the other. And that works better for me. That works better for my relationships. You know, it's not fair for me to know everything about the person standing in front of me and them to not be able to even pick up on anything for me. You know, that gives me a significant advantage that I don't find fair. So I will say kind of keep that in mind, because I will say that is the trickiest part, if there was a tricky part about my relationship with my husband. I have to watch picking up on him all the time. It's not fair to him. He deserves his privacy. He deserves to be able to, you know, keep track of his own emotions and to not have somebody prying or looking. You know, I get asked the question all the time, are you on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? No, I'm not. You know, when I am not working, you know, I try to lower the volume on my intuition to have a normal life in a way, which my life will never be normal. And those who are intuitive, your life will never be normal either. But it is not fair for me to pick up on every single person I come across. Don't they deserve their privacy? You know, for example, for those of you who are listening right now, think of maybe the worst thought you've had in the last few days. Think of the worst thought you've had in the last few days. Maybe it was, you know, I really want to dump this guy, or my boss sucks, I wish he would go away, or I'm fat and I'm so ridiculous, whatever it is. Think of the worst thought you've had. Think of where you were when you had that thought or when you had that feeling, you know, because thoughts cause feelings or emotions. And imagine that somebody just walked by and picked up on that thought or that feeling. They could feel what you were feeling in that moment, that disgust or shame or guilt. Or maybe they would even be able to pick up on the thought of, hey, you know what, I hate my boss. Or, you know, I spent extra money I wasn't supposed to. How does that make you feel knowing that maybe somebody else now knows what you're thinking and feeling? Doesn't feel right, does it? It feels kind of gritty, almost like being violated in a way. That is why I don't read 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You deserve your privacy. You deserve to be able to have the emotions and feelings that you want and not have somebody pick up on that and not have somebody tune in on that. So when I am out in public, no, I'm not picking up on people around me. I've turned the volume down on my intuition. Now, can I turn it back up? Sure. Can I read people if I wanted to? Sure. But to me, it's a privacy thing. If you really want to know what I'm picking up on you or feeling for you, then come get a reading with me. come and seek my counsel. That is the opportunity for you to hear and listen and understand what I'm receiving for you and so forth and so on. But to do it in public, to do it when I'm in a crowd or at a concert or, you know, with a group of people, no, my volume's turned down. I don't want to know. And I don't think you would want me to know either. And you have that right to privacy. So that is one of the most significant things I do recommend with intuition when it comes to relationships. That person deserves that fair opportunity, and they deserve their privacy in how they feel. And that's actually come up big time with the client that I mentioned, you know, about earlier in the show. You know, this client who said, I can't tell the difference between my logic and my intuition and my heart and, you know, my emotional standpoint. She's in a relationship and she wants this person, but this person hasn't figured out emotionally how they feel. And intuitively, you know, what little she is getting is that this will work out. But emotionally, she wants it now. And logically, she thinks that being patient any longer is ridiculous. You know, so all sides are working, but some sides are outweighing the others. Her emotion is outweighing the logic, and the intuition is the way outweighing the emotion. You know, but at the end of the day, just because intuitively she feels that this is going to work out, she still has to allow that other person to come to terms with that themselves, because they still, at the end of the day, might make that decision to not want to be in this relationship. And she will have to respect that decision, no matter what her intuition is telling her. That's what we call free will. And I think a lot of people forget about that. You have free will in every single relationship that you're in, whether it's with a friend, a family member, or a spouse or a loved one. Give that significant other, give that other person the same respect to have that free will. I think that's the biggest thing we forget about when it comes to love. Love is not control. It is not controlling that other person or wanting that person to change absolutely for us. It is a level of respect. Love is loving that person for them. And love is understanding that at the end of the day, you know, the best way I can put it is the way I love my husband, I would do anything for him. He is first. He is the first thing I think about when I wake up. And he is the last thing I think about before I go to sleep. I would do anything for him. I would be there for him. Would I be anything for him? I don't think so. I couldn't be anything for him because I know that he loves me for me. So why should I have to be anything else? That's not something that he would ever ask of me. And that is not something I would ever ask of him. Love is not about control, because at the end of the day, I could tell you, as much as it would crush and break my heart if he decided he didn't want to be with me, I love him enough to want him his happiness more. That's self-sacrifice, and that is a big thing when it comes to relationships. But you can't sacrifice yourself in the sense of giving up your whole entire being. It's self-sacrifice in the sense of, I am willing to put in a large percentage in this relationship because it deserves that. There is a difference. So I know I'm getting down to the last 5 minutes of the show, and I've talked about a lot of different things, and I've went all the way around this topic, and I've given a lot of advice on the topic of love. And, you know, is it out there? Yes, it is. Don't give up on it. You know, love is one of those things you should never give up on. One of my favorite all-time quotes is, people come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. Those reasons that people come into your life is your life lessons and the karmic lessons that you're working on. You know, that heartbreak that is still with you, that's a life lesson. The repetitive nature of your relationships, that's a life lesson. You know, you thinking you don't deserve the right person, that's a life lesson. These are reasons. There is also people who come into your life for what we call seasons. They are quick. They're the person you smile at the grocery store, but you've never met before. They are the people that you pass on the streets or when you're at work, but you've never talked to. They are fleeting in our lives, but they also have meaning and purpose. Maybe that person you just so happen to smile at the grocery store had a really bad day, and the fact that you smiled at them just made their whole entire day. So the seasons are just as important. And then lastly, the lifetimes. We think people are in our lives for lifetimes, and we always want them to be that. But sometimes you may find that that person you really hoped would be a lifetime was really a long course of set of reasons, hence divorces and breakups and so forth and so on. It sucks. It hurts. But don't give up on the lifetime, because you will find it. Sometimes we just have to learn a lot and make sure we are in the right place to have the love that we want and deserve. So, if you are in a relationship right now, really ask yourself who you are and what you contribute to the relationship you're currently in. Is it a good, solid relationship? Is it what you're looking for? Or are you just settling because you're terrified you're not going to find what you're looking for? If you're not in a relationship and you're single right now, work on you. Be proud of your independence. Be proud of who you are. And work on being you. Work on overcoming that trauma, the hurt, the grief, the heartbreak, and the heartache of your past. Because only you can decide if you deserve the love you want. And only you can do the work to get it. And lastly, as much as I love all of the people that I work with and the clients and so forth, I will leave you with this last piece, because it is one piece that I always have to remind clients. He or she is not going to show up on a silver platter on your front door. It's not going to happen. It never has, and it never will. So if you are the person sitting at home right now going, I feel good, I feel great, I feel solid, but I still am not getting that love and I'm not finding it, ask yourself, when is the last time you've put yourself out there? And are you putting yourself out there in the right way? Because if you're at home 7 days a week, you are not dating, you're not being social, but you expect somebody to come into your life, when do you expect to meet them? And where? You have to do the work to find the love too. The universe will bring you the right person during the right time, but you have to do the work up to the point to get to that point. And they're not going to hand you it on a silver platter. And you have to be willing to put yourself out there. I'm not saying go bar hopping, but maybe consider social networking and some other options. There's many different options and ways to meet new people. You have to give and take. And the universe is exactly like that. So just kind of keep that in mind. So I leave you with that. If you have any questions about the material that I talked about today or the topic, please contact me at moonbeamessence@yahoo.com. Give me a call at 313-516-8210. I'm on Facebook, Tumblr, and Twitter. And I'm under Divine Temperance or Divine Temperance with Courtney Overfield. Let me know what you thought about the show. And if there's something you discuss in the future, feel free to contact me and let me know. I'm always listening to clients and listeners about, you know, what they want to hear about on the radio, what they want me to talk about, what they would like to know more about. So feel free to contact me with any of that information. Lastly, if you would like to book me for a reading, I do phone readings. So if you are across the country, that's no problem. And I offer readings 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and 60 minutes. So I definitely have a reading length that would fit for everyone. I want to thank you so much for listening today. I see I have people in chat listening. Thank you so much. And I have live callers listening. Thank you so much for being here. I'm live every first Tuesday of the month at 10 a.m. Enjoy the rest of the month. Enjoy Valentine's Day. Do something for you. And remember, today is in bulk, so light a candle and cleanse out yourself, cleanse out your space, and get rid of what you don't need. Thanks so much, and until next time, bye-bye.